Well, I guess that could have gone worse.
Define worse.
Broken bones would have been worse. I consider any hostile meeting I can walk away from with nothing broken and only my ego bruised a success.
I wouldn't be adding this to the victory column quite yet.
I stopped walking and turned around. There stood two big burly men. Even if they weren't dressed in plain blue uniforms, I could have guessed by the cold stone looks on their faces they were security.
Each of their left arms are bionic.
Hey, what gives here, guys? Mr. Doors said I wasn't to be hurt.
We work for Mrs. Doors, senor.
What does Ma Doors have against me?
The security computer forwarded Mrs. Doors the image of you entering the building disguised as her. She wants you to know that she would never wear an outfit like that.
The second guard pounded his fist into his bionic palm.
She wants us to make sure you don't do anything like that again.
Don't worry, I won't. He grabbed me by the shirt and lifted me up with one arm.
Good.
Are these bullies bothering you, citizen?
Tua? For those of you who don't know, Tua is one of the world-famous Thompson Quads. Tua thinks of herself as a superhero called Justice Babe. She walks, well, flies around in a skimpy costume fighting evil. Not just fighting it, but crushing it. And usually causing more harm than good. The odd thing is, she's not even the most eccentric one in her family. It's okay, Tua. I have it out of control. She landed next to us. She looked striking and frightening as ever in her full Justice Babe garb. I swear she'd even less skirt and more breasts than the last time I ran into her.
This is private property.
That doesn't give you the right to manhandle good citizens and champions of justice.
Tua grabbed the guard's bionic arm and squeezed. The guard released his grip on me. The first guard rushed to his counterpart's aid. He clubbed Tua on the back with his bionic arm. The arm smashed on contact. Tua was no worse for wear. Tua, don't hurt them. I had this worked out. They were only doing their jobs. Tua faced the guard and looked as if she was going to give him an elbow smash in the face. Instead, she stopped and just held her elbow up, giving the guard a whiff of the pheromones under her arm. The guard's angry expression instantly turned into one of complete admiration. Actually, worship is probably a more fitting word. He looked at Tua as if she were a goddess, and quite frankly, to him she very well may have been. He fell to one knee and gazed longingly at her. Tua then lifted her other arm, giving the other guard a subtle whiff. That guard's eyes glazed over, and he too fell to a knee.
What can I do to please you, master?
Are you okay, Zack?
I'm fine, thanks. How long will they be like that?
Who knows? A day, a week, forever? Not my problem. That'll teach Ma Doors for cheating me in celebrity strip poker.
We started to walk to my car. I figured it was best to move out of the area, just in case any more H-Tech security people were foolish enough to come and engage, or enrage, Tua. What brings you here?
I understand you were asking about me.
No, I wasn't.
Your computer was poking around, looking for information.
Tua put her arm around me. It wasn't so much a gesture of friendship, as it was a maneuver to hit me with some of those pheromones.
Why?
My head started to spin, but I liked it. I looked at Tua.
Wow. Look how beautiful she is. I know she was beautiful, but she is extra beautiful, extra perfect. Oh, Gates, what I wouldn't give for the honor of being her lipstick. And that body, that unbreakable supertone.
Oh, she's trying to turn you into one of her lovesick puppy slaves.
I don't mind.
That's it. I'm shotting you, and I'm turning off your nasal receptors.
Ah! I leapt forward and away from Tua's grasp.
Ah, your computer inside your brain. I forgot about that.
Really, Tua? I don't know what you're talking about. There's no need for you to try to bend my will.
Just tell me why your computer was talking to my dad. My computer. I'm never really sure what to call him.
Tua, at the risk of being twisted into a pretzel, I have no idea what you're talking about.
My old science project.
Now you've totally lost me.
Your computer was asking my dad, who is now my computer, if he had any idea who designed the elves for the North Pole.
Yes, that's true.
It was me. They were my middle school science project.
We reached my car, which was a good thing, because I needed it to lean on.
You designed the elves?
Yes, back in my science nerd days. Why do you care?
She leaned in close to me. Very close. She started slowly massaging my back.
I don't need pheromones to get what I want.
Tua, I can't tell you.
Two of the elves have been killed.
What?
Harv? I had to do it, Zack. You wouldn't be much good to anybody if Tua turned you into a pile of mush. Don't worry. Nobody else heard. Because Tua is sending out so much negative energy, she's knocked out everybody else in earshot.
Tua took a step back from me.
He's right, you know.
It took a nano for my head to stop spinning. I wasn't sure what had it rotating faster, Tua's pheromone attack or her words. Come to think of it, it was exceedingly quiet. I glanced around. Sure enough, all people and animals were on the ground, curled in a fetal position.
You designed the elves.
I looked at Harv's face in my communicator.
So much for your theory that elves can't go bad.
Hey, I resent that! Take it back now, before I decide to make you into my permanent footstool.
Come on, Tua. Even you have to admit you are a bit of a nutcase.
She took another step back. She wasn't used to people besides her sisters having the nerve to talk back to her.
I'm not a nutcase. I'm rich, so if anything, I'm eccentric.
Eccentric? You walk around dressed as a superhero fighting crime. You even sleep with your boots on.
Crime has no time. I have to be ready to leap into action at a moment's notice. Besides, I take my boots off once a week to let my feet air out. Okay, I'm definitely on the eccentric side.
Tua, you are so far past eccentric, you can't even see it from where you're standing with a super thermal electron telescope.
What about my supervision?
I put a hand on her shoulder, taking the chance that she wouldn't rip it off and hand it back to me.
The point is, Tua, if you made the elves, I can't rule out the possibility that they're as crazy and as capable of destruction as you are.
Tua put her index finger under my chin and lifted me off the ground again.
Zack, you have to believe me when I tell you this.
You have my undivided attention.
I worked hard on those elves. In those days, before Daddy's memory got erased, I wanted to be a great scientist, like him. Sure, I had a setback or two, but I swear to you, Zack, on my tremendous bosom, that I perfected the elves to be capable of nothing but kindness.
I looked down at her. The first thing that caught my eye were those tremendous bosoms. Being lifted up like this gave me quite the eyeful. With great difficulty, I moved my gaze up to meet hers. I saw something in Tua I had never seen in her before. Sincerity.
I believe you.
Good.
She lowered me to the ground.
Is there anything else I can do for you?
What do you know about Santana?
I didn't have anything to do with her.
Do you know who did?
Sorry, Zack. I was too busy with my elves project to pay attention to anything else.
I appreciate your help, Tua.
Of course you do. Anything else?
Not at the moment.
Very well. If you need me, just activate the Justice Babe signal.
She put an arm up in the air and flew off.
I don't think I want to know what the Justice Babe signal is.
With Tua gone, I remembered that Harv turned off my sense of smell. It was eerie not to be able to smell anything. I felt like my nose should be stuffy, but it wasn't.
Harv, turn my nose back on, please.
I felt a slight tingle in the back of the head.
Can you smell again? No, that's a phrase you don't say very often.
I was hit by a sudden rush of my olfactory senses. The flowers that lined the walkway to the building, the sweat of the beaten and still in fetal position guards, the slight scent of exhaust. I got in my Mustang and started her up. Harv popped into the dash window.
I'll drive. I know you take pride in your driving, but your head still may not be totally clear from Tua playing with it.
Tua and you?
Harv pulled the car out of its parking spot. Okay, maybe my car is more than slightly modified.
I do not play with your mind. I perform certain functions to increase its efficiency.
Tomato, potato.
So, Sherlock, what have you concluded besides the fact that androids shouldn't have a need for deodorant, yet Tua does?
I'm still processing that info.
I knew you wouldn't learn anything from just barging into a man's office.
I needed to judge his reactions to my questions. That type of thing is much easier to gauge in person, especially when you don't know somebody.
So, what do you conclude?
He seemed sincere.
Of course he seemed sincere. He's a professional businessman. It's his job to seem sincere. Doss, Zack, you seem to be so naive at times.
Did you do a voice scan on him? Well, Harv?
I did.
And?
His voice wave and facial patterns indicated that he was quite surprised by your news.
See? So he learned that.
But he's a smart guy. He obviously knows you were scanning him, so he might have anti-scanning software just to throw us off track. Doss, I should have scanned for holographic activity. For all we know, he had on a holographic cover.
Harv, I don't think the man sits in his office under a holographic cover.
Probably not. Too much exposure is bad for the brain.
I think you would have noticed if he activated a hologram while we were in the room.
True. I am exceedingly smart. Still, he's a professional businessman. We can't rule out that he's also an expert liar, and therefore can't rule out HTEC as a suspect.
He may be a suspect right now, but we have to look at all the options.
Excel would really gain from setting H-Tech up to look like the bad guys.
True. I guess they are the obvious choice, but there are times when the obvious choice is the right choice.
Yeah, but Dead Elves don't seem to fit the style of either H-Tech or Excel. It's too subtle.
That is a good point.
Plus, by coming here, we did learn that Tua helped create the elves. Therefore, we can't rule out the possibility that elves can snap.
True again.
There are still a lot of possibilities. We still have the unknown wildcard factor.
The unknown wildcard factor? Which is?
If I knew, it wouldn't be unknown. Still, there's always something or somebody you don't think of until it walks right up and slaps you in the face.
Yes, humans are so unpredictable that even I can't always deduce with total reliability and accuracy the probability of their actions.
This was the second time today he admitted that there was something he didn't totally understand. Despite Randy's new shielding, I was still rubbing off on him.
I do have some good news for you.
And that is?
Esteemed World Council member Sexy Sprockets will make time to see you today. She can fit you in from 6:15 until 6:19.
4 minutes?
She's a busy girl. You should be glad to get any FaceTime at all.
Well then, I guess I have time to grab a quick bite to eat. I was sitting at a table in one of my favorite outdoor delis, sipping on an iced tea, hey, I was on duty, and munching on a roast beef on rye. I was trying to mentally piece together the parts of the puzzle I had so far, attempting to get an idea of what the solution to this puzzle would look like. The things I did know I could count on one hand. H-Tech would certainly gain something from the demise of the holiday, but was it enough to risk ripping apart the moral fiber of the world? They were a pretty successful company as it was, so why sink the boat to success? Maybe another company was trying to shake things up, a small upstart looking to make its mark, or another one of the big guys just trying to screw over H-Tech? Having learned that Tua was the one responsible for the creation of the elves didn't put my mind at ease at all. After all, this was a woman who would stop jaywalkers by knocking out everybody on the street. And she was only a kid at the time she created the elf template. Who's to say she couldn't have screwed up and incorporated a bit of the homicidal maniac in there? I hoped that once I got to the pole, some of this groundwork I was laying would pay off. I looked up to see a little guy with an old-fashioned handlebar mustache coming toward me. He was wearing a black suit that was at least one size too small for him. He waddled like a penguin.
Are you Zachary Johnson?
I am. He reached into his jacket and pulled out a laser pen.
That's not really a laser pen.
Good. I hate signing autographs.
How do you feel about death threats?
They're slightly more annoying than autographs. Why?
The pen is actually a hand laser with a hollow projector to make it look like pen.
Hand weapons with holographic projectors are all the rage these days. They're especially handy for people who are terrible shots. It allows them to get up close and personal with their target so they can kill at close range. I tipped the table up to use it as a shield and dropped under it just as he fired. The shot blew a hole in the table, but missed me.
For future reference, whenever anybody asks if you are Zachary Johnson, you should deny it. Maybe even claim that you spit on Zachary Johnson.
Not helping here, Harv. I popped my gun into my hand. Problem was, there were still too many civilians in the way to fire indiscriminately. Luckily, and luck is a really relative term here, I didn't have to. The man simply peeked around the table I was hiding behind and pointed his pen gun at me. Only a truly lousy shot would make such an overt move. He certainly wasn't a professional, at least not a highly paid one. It could also mean that he didn't want to hurt anybody else, or that he just hated me so much he wanted to kill me at close range. Frankly, it didn't really matter. I put my hands up over my head to let him know I wouldn't hurt him, giving him one last chance to back down. Whoa, cool the warp engines, buddy. Let's talk this out. His hand was shaking as he pointed his weapon at me. There were beads of sweat forming exponentially on his brow. He had the upper hand, yet he was more scared than I was.
You met with Santana earlier today.
Shh! No need to shout. What's it to you, anyway?
Santana is evil.
A woman whose sole duty in life is to give everybody in the world presents is evil? He stood there, thinking. His hand stopped twitching some, which was a relief.
She's not evil, per se, but what she stands for is evil.
The police are on their way.
You've lost me, buddy.
Santana and the holiday make us all the same. It's a crime against human nature.
Come again?
If Santana gets her way, we'll all be the same. There'll be no individuality left in the world.
Come again?
You see, it's really simple.
My kick forced him to instinctively bend over and shield his wounded shin. This left his chin wide open and much nearer to the ground. The kick snapped his head back, and he went crashing to the ground. I leapt up and dove on top of him, my gun forced under his chin. Now, let's continue our little talk on my terms.
Police bot behind you.
I turned my head, just enough so I could see the bot rolling in from behind.
Freeze!
I put my hands over my head, giving the bot easy access to my gun. It rolled up to me, extended a claw from its cylinder body, and took the gun. The little man in black took advantage of the opening, tagging me with a punch to the stomach. Between my under armor and his awkward position on the ground, all he really managed to do was hurt his hand. That didn't get us both netted by the police bot. Hey, why are you netting me?
It is impossible to net just him from my position.
Why'd you do that?
Precautionary measures.
For those of you who have never spent time in a police interrogation room, it's not fun. It's kind of like waiting for the dentist, yet more lonely because you don't have other equally apprehensive people sitting around with you. In fact, there's nothing else in the room besides you, a light, table, and a couple of chairs so the interrogators can sit. The police had taken away my gun, but they had left me with my wrist communicator. They obviously didn't think of me as a major risk. Harv went into stealth mode the nano I was captured. He knew anything we said was most likely being recorded, so the less said the better. I looked at my communicator. I had an hour to make it to see Sexy. I'd been sitting in the police detention and interrogation room for about 10 minutes before my buddy, Captain Tony Ricky, and a blob of a lieutenant rolled in. It's helpful for anybody to have an old friend high up in the police force. It's especially helpful for me since I visit the building so often. I've been told they have a chair that they reserve just for me.
Zach, this is Lieutenant Ray Rayborn.
Tony pointed to the lieutenant. I nodded. He had the look of a walrus, and an unkempt walrus at that.
Detective?
Lieutenant.
I decided my best course of action was to focus on Tony and appeal to our friendship and his reason. After all, I was just an innocent bystander.
Tony, you know I wasn't doing anything except relaxing and having a light meal.
That's what they all say.
Rayborn stood up from the chair and pounded his fists into the table.
Listen, buddy, I do this so much I have a frequent subject of interrogation card. It's gonna take more than you to scare me, especially when I know I'm innocent. I swear, Tony, for once, I have absolutely no idea why I was attacked.
Any idea why you were thrown out of H-Tech headquarters?
I should have seen that one coming.
Business.
Zach, even you have to admit it's a little strange that you get thrown out of the office of one of the richest men in the world, saved by a superhero babe and then attacked by a member of the SSS.
All in a day's work when you're me. The SSS?
The Santana Stinks Society.
Huh. That would explain his ranting about Santana.
The question is why you?
Does that work with anybody?
Tony looked at him.
I told you, Zach doesn't scare easily. He's in training, Zach. Give him a break.
Oh, please, sir. Don't hurt me. I'll tell you anything you need to know.
Rayborn eased back a bit and smiled.
No. That wasn't so hard, was it?
Truthfully, guys, I've never heard of the SSS until just now. I've no idea why they'd be after me.
They just looked at me. It was clear I wasn't going to get out of there until I gave them something.
Okay, maybe I have a slight idea. Santana and I are talking about doing a Zach Johnson action figure.
Well, that would explain it.
Even I think that makes sense.
Can I ask the name of the guy who attacked me?
Joe Summers. He's a first-timer, so we'll let him off with a fine and probation for discharging a weapon in public and resisting arrest.
What about attacking me?
Well, since he didn't hurt you, it would be a stretch to get any judge in this province to hold him. There's talk of treating attacks on your life the same as littering. 100 credit fine, and then you're free to go.
So I'm free to go?
I'll even drive you to your car.
You don't have to.
I insist.
Tony and I didn't talk much until we got safely in his standard white and black police hover. For a hover, it wasn't bad to look at. In fact, it had more than a passing resemblance to the police cars of the 1950s, except there were hover jets supplementing all the wheels. Tony punched some coordinates into his hover's dash.
Are you sure?
Positive.
These police hovers were bi-modular, able to fly or travel across the ground. Of course, Tony picked the air mode.
Okay, Zach, tell me what's really up.
Tony, I told you the truth.
I'm sure you told me some semblance of the truth. Zach, I don't think you know what you're getting yourself into here.
At the moment, Harv appeared between us, projecting himself from my wrist communicator.
Captain Ricky, when have you ever known Zach to have any idea what he was getting himself into?
Good point.
When the man is on a job, he leaps, then looks, and expects us to hand him a parachute.
When you're right, Harv.
I doubt he'd be able to survive if it weren't for us.
Another good point, Harv.
We are lucky he only gets one significant job a year.
Yeah, if he got any more work, I'd have to quit my job on the force and Zach would have to put me on payroll.
Like he could afford you.
Guys, I'm sitting right here in the hover with you.
Plus, he's so self-centered. It's always about him, like he farts sunshine.
First, none of that, well, not much of that is true. And second, farts sunshine? Harv crossed his arms and acknowledged that I was in the hover for the first time by actually looking toward me.
I got my point across.
He did.
Just then, I decided to look down. Normally when I'm in a hover, I don't like to look down. No good can come of it. It'll only remind me that I'm hundreds of meters up in the air. In this case, though, I made an exception. Anything had to be better than watching my computer and my friend rant about me. I noticed that we weren't where I thought we would be. I was no expert in finding places by air, but I could tell one side of town from another. Tony, my car is parked at a bistro clear on the other side of town.
I know. I'm not taking you to your car. Yet.
If this had been any other police officer in town, I would have been worried. But this was Tony. We'd known each other longer than either of us, especially him, cared to admit. We played ball on the sandlots together. I was his best man at his first two weddings.
So where are you taking me?
To a bar I know, in Oakland.
Almost every province in the world has one city that, for better or for worse, has dug in their heels, vehemently refusing to be dragged into the second half of the 21st century. These cities were designated low-tech zones and became refuges for those folks who didn't want to be constantly wired. Those who don't need to be instantly notified of any changes in the world. People who don't want everything wired to everything else. In the province of California, that city is Oakland. I know this may sound weird coming from a guy whose computer is wired to his brain, but I can empathize with those people. I really appreciate those throwback cities. They're our link to our past. They're places where people can commune with our ancestors. They serve as living memorials of simpler times. I figured Tony wanted to go to Oakland because he had something he wanted to tell me away from the prying eyes and ears of security cameras. Tony landed outside the little place in the bad part of Oakland, not that there's an especially good part, called the Mad Hacker. The place was so lowbrow, I had never been there. Entering the Mad Hacker was like entering a time warp. It was dark and smoke-filled, despite the fact it was mid-afternoon and smoking in public has been outlawed in California for decades. The building had to be 100 years old, and it still boasted the original paint. The paint that survived was peeling off the walls like it was victim of a strange skin disease. There was one large window in the front of the building, but it was so dirty it might as well have been boarded over. I'd call it a rundown dive, but that would be offensive to rundown dives. It was the bar that time ignored. I found that kind of a cool thing. We made our way through the crowd and up to the bar itself.
So what's this all about?
He held up a finger. He pulled an earpiece from his pocket. It looked like an earring with a chip on it. He clipped the earring to his left ear.
Tony, should I be aware of some sort of lifestyle change?
Tony just smiled.
Everybody sleep!
The next thing I knew, Tony was patting me on the shoulder.
Zach, wake up.
Zach, wake up.
Sure enough, my eyes were closed, and my head was down on something. I opened my eyes. Then I remembered. Oakland and the bar. My head shot up. I rubbed the sleep out of my eyes. I looked around. Except for Tony, everybody else in the bar was asleep. Some had curled up on the floor, some fell asleep at their tables, and some were asleep on their feet. It didn't matter. They were all out. I looked at Tony. He pointed to the earpiece.
Portable Psi power simulator.
Impressive.
We were having them developed for the crowd control.
I looked around at the sleeping crowd.
It seems to work.
So this is what Tony wanted to show me in private. I was certain that apartment wouldn't appreciate him showing me top secret test equipment. The question was, why was a by-the-book guy like Tony showing me this? What did this have to do with Santana?
I'll tell you what this has to do with Santana.
I was impressed.
Santana's elves developed this for us. They have a knack for these kinds of things.
You're telling me.
The problem is, Santana decided that while these weren't offensive weapons, she still didn't approve of them. This was the only one made. The Force begged and pleaded for more. She wouldn't budge. She made a lot of enemies that day.
I bet. Tony looked at me.
So, Zack, tell me, what is your involvement with the pole?
I'm going to the pole to help solve the murder of two elves. Hey! Stop using that thing on me.
I'm calibrating your brain to be able to resist it. It's quite complicated, but I should have your defenses up in 2 minutes.
Don't worry, I can't do it for much longer. This thing gives me a nasty headache if I use it for more than 5 minutes.
Good.
I made my point. Let's get out of here.
We slowly made our way through the sleeping crowd. When we reached the exit, Tony turned back.
Everybody wake up.
The crowd started to stir.
Go about your business as if nothing happened.
Everybody stood up and began doing whatever they'd been doing before Tony zapped them. Tony headed to his hover and motioned for me to follow.
Come on, I'll get you back to your car. I know you have a meeting with Sexy Sprockets in a half hour.
Hey, you're not supposed to know that.
Don't worry, Zack, I'm on your side. Though it is tempting to see what else you might be hiding.
After passing through about a dozen security checks and about a dozen more Starbucks and coffee corners, I finally reached the door to Sexy's penthouse office. The office was much less tacky than I thought it would be. In fact, it was very Spartan and proper. Sexy was sitting at the far end of a long conference table. She stood up to greet me when I walked in. She was wearing a black miniskirt, 2 centimeter heels, and a silky black jacket with nothing else on underneath. No shirt, no bra, no shame. Now this was more along the lines of what I was expecting.
Zack, how super neato of you to come!
She ran up to me and gave me a warm hug that felt better than it should have. Sexy turned to a tall, powerfully built blonde woman who'd been giving Sexy a neck rub.
Shannon, this is Zack. I've told you about him.
The blonde woman just nodded her acknowledgement.
Zack, this is Shannon Cannon. She's my new bodyguard.
Charmed.
Shannon's a mutant.
Sexy pulled me over to the conference table.
She can overpower people with her breath.
Her parents must be so proud.
Shannon glared at me.
Zack is such a kidder.
Sexy sat back down at the head of the table and propped her legs up on it.
Sit.
I pulled out a chair and made myself comfortable. Well, as comfortable as possible under the circumstances, Sexy had put her hands behind her head, giving me quite the view.
Zack, do you believe I'm now one of the most powerful people on Earth?
I try not to think about it too much, Sexy.
Neither do I. I find I'm happier when I don't think too much. We're a lot alike. People don't understand the pressure we are under having the weight of the world on our shoulders.
Sexy looked over at Shannon. Shannon moved forward and started massaging Sexy's shoulders.
Still, the perks of being a World Council member are almost as good as being a rock star.
Sexy slid her legs from the top of the table and onto my lap.
Massage my feet, please.
Excuse me?
My feet. Rub them. It's been a long day of making decisions and stuff. Shannon is doing my neck, but my feet hurt too.
I looked at her, trying to gauge if she was serious. She returned my gaze with a tilted head and pleading puppy dog eyes.
You don't want to be audited for the next 10 years, do you?
It was nice to see that Sexy's past life as a pop diva hadn't spoiled her.
Sexy, you know I don't respond well to threats.
Please?
I shook my head. The things I do in the line of duty. I popped off her right shoe.
I hope my feet aren't stinky.
Don't worry, I turned down the scent receptors in your brain again.
I started to massage Sexy's foot. I guess there are worse things a PI has to do in this business than massage a beautiful pop star turned politician's feet.
Isn't it so sub-zero that I'm one of the most powerful people in the world?
Is sub-zero a synonym for scary as all get out?
Oh, Zack! You're such a kidder! He loves making funnies, Shannon. You know, I could have Shannon kill you right now and so totally get away with it.
I looked up at Shannon. She had the faint trace of a smile on her face as she gave me a subtle but obvious, yes, I could kill you easily nod. It's a nod I've come to recognize because I've seen it far more often than I'm comfortable with.
Yes, I'm sure you could, but I'm a lot harder to kill than most people think.
I can attest to that. But trust me, Zack, Shannon the Cannon isn't most people. one breath from her, and you'd be deader than the polka. I've seen it. It's really quite impressive. And even more than a little sexy.
I shook my head. Yes, this was all strangely erotic in a campy Pulp Fiction sort of way, but I had a job to do. It was time to steer this conversation back to the task at hand.
You're probably wondering why I wanted to see you.
You mean this isn't just a social visit from an old friend? I know that, Zach. I know more than you, the media, and the general populace think.
She reached forward and pressed a button on the table.
Sonny, Cher, come in here now, please.
Sonny and Cher?
On Sexy's command, a tall man with long hair and a skinny woman with short hair walked into the room from a hidden side door. They were both dressed in dark gray suits that seemed to fit their personalities as neatly as it did their bodies. They were both carrying paper-thin computers.
Two of my personal lawyers.
Yeah, I can tell.
See, I have so much freaking power, my lawyers can even admit to being lawyers.
What can we do for you, ma'am?
They call me ma'am. I love that. At ease. Clear your calendars.
Yes, ma'am.
For how long, ma'am?
For a long time.
Does ma'am have an especially sensitive case for us?
Nah, I'm just having Shannon kill you.
Is ma'am unhappy with our work?
Nah, I'm just showing something to a friend.
Very well.
I didn't like the way this conversation was going. I started to push Sexy's feet up off of me. She resisted and forced her foot down on me.
Don't be impatient, Zach. This is a demo.
Before I had a chance to react, Shannon breathed on Sonny and Cher. The two held their throats, went stiff, and then fell over backward. I pushed Sexy's legs off my lap, this time with much more force.
Hey, what gives?
Sexy, I didn't think you were callous enough to casually kill people.
Zach, I came from the music industry. Of course I'm callous.
She pressed another button on her desk. Two little scooter bots came out the same hidden door the lawyers did. The two bots slid up to Sonny and Cher and injected them in the neck.
But even I wouldn't kill my own lawyers for fun. I'm just trying to prove a couple of points. I know you met with Santana.
How?
I have my sources. I just want to warn you that you don't know what you're getting into.
Yeah, that seems to be the general consensus.
The thing is, Zach, you are dealing with two very crazy factions. And believe me, Zach, I know crazy.
Can you elaborate?
Zach, I'm a politician now. Of course I can elaborate. Santana has many enemies on the World Council.
Why?
Well, to me, it's her poor taste in color coordination. But the why isn't important. What is important is that you understand these people are extremely powerful and well-connected. They also command the loyalties of many other fanatical people. Look at how I could have had my own lawyers killed so easily and how they were willing to die on my command. Believe me, Zach, I'm not nearly as hardcore as some of the World Council members.
What's the other faction?
Santana herself.
Sexy pointed to Shannon.
You've seen how easily she killed those lawyers. Well, Shannon and Santana share some DNA. That's why the World Council outlawed mutating and cloning humans. There is so much about the process we still don't understand. We really shouldn't tamper with things we don't understand.
She looked at her watch.
Wow, look at the time. I've already given you much more than you were accoladed. Thanks for the foot rub. I'll have Shannon escort you to the door.
As I drove to my house, I was thinking that this was the kind of case that I really hated. The kind where the more information I gathered, the bigger and more confusing the case got. My first instincts on these types of cases is to stop gathering information. My second instinct is always to ignore my first instinct. Hardly any good can come out of ignoring information. The trick was to sift through the mass of information and find the important keys to the crime. Every crime has two or three keys that, if used in the right order, will break the case open. The trick was in the sifting, but that's where Harv came in. Harv was running background checks on all the humans currently visiting the North Pole. The murders of the elves occurred shortly after they arrived. I was certain that wasn't a coincidence. One or more of those people were involved, but who and why were the keys? I knew big business wouldn't shed a tear if the holiday suddenly ceased to exist. I knew a certain faction of the World Council wasn't happy with the way Santana was running things. I suspected that elves had the potential to snap and totally lose it. I had learned that there is a fanatical group called the Santana Stink Society that thinks Santana is an abomination and would use any means necessary to stop her. Like I said, the more I learned, the more confusing things got.
Have you got the data on the pole visitors yet? Are you in there?
Keep both hands on the wheel in a 10 and 2 position while driving.
I take it the elves haven't given you the information we requested.
I only asked again a few nanos ago.
Why?
I was testing their computer defenses to see if I could break in.
I take it you couldn't.
I need more time. The elves are quite thorough with their computer defenses. They have firewalls, surrounded by moats, surrounded by e-razor wire, surrounded by more firewalls.
I get the point, Harv.
I'm only scratching the surface with that explanation.
Yeah, but you're pushing the limits of my patience. Just remind them how important that information is to the case.
I have. They said they are compiling it now and will get back to me before the evening is over.
Now that wasn't so hard, was it?
Actually, it was excruciating. But I am learning their defenses.
The first thing I noticed after closing the front door was a suitcase sitting there. It appeared that this time Electra wasn't even going to let me explain myself before leaving. I headed up the stairs and found Electra hurriedly running a brush through her long dark hair. She heard me come in and turned toward the door.
Oh, hi.
Hi. What have I done this time?
For once, Zack, it's not you.
Oh?
Santana called me right when I got home and explained the situation.
Oh.
I think it's a good cause. It is a little scary that she knew my exact schedule.
It's her job to know those things, I guess. So, the suitcase is packed because you are going? Didn't Santana tell you no personal belongings at the pole?
No and see.
Electra, mi amor, you have me confused.
Now you know what it's like living with you. Constant confusion.
I wasn't about to argue that point with her. I pleaded with my eyes for her to please fill me in.
I was going, really I was.
But
a few minutes after Santana called, I got another call from a conference in New York. One of their keynote participants got sick at the last moment and had to cancel. They want me to replace her and demonstrate my techniques for instant same-host stem revertation and implantation.
Revertation isn't a word.
It's patent pending.
Oh.
So, it'll be the three-peat of medical science.
Huh?
So, you're not going to the pole with me.
Zack, this is my chance to teach my techniques to hundreds of others. Plus, it will be great PR for my clinic.
This was one of those rare moments where I truly didn't know what to say. For one, I was stunned that Electra had actually wanted to go to the pole. I was also a little hurt that she would put her career ahead of our vacation. Then I remembered that it wasn't really a vacation, it was my career. We were going to investigate dead elves. Still, my male ego was a little bruised.
We all save the world in our own way.
You probably would have cramped my style anyhow.
I'm sure you can save the world as we know it without me.
I am very good at what I do.
And modest, too.
Santana sent me the medical records on the dead elves.
She did?
What did you learn, hon?
I learned that those elves are far more vindictive than they appear.
I was talking to Electra.
I didn't learn much from the squished elf's lab work. Squished is squished. But the other elf, the one that was poisoned, I learned she was definitely poisoned.
So now we know for sure it was a murder. I didn't think there was much doubt about that.
I also learned that the poisoned elf only had about a year to live.
Are you sure?
I'm no expert, but the elf was 21 years old, so it only had a year left to live.
Harv, where can we find Tua?
At this time, she is always patrolling the Trump 100th Known Universe Bank.
Tell her I need to chat with her.
She doesn't take calls when on patrol.
In that case, gracias, mi amor.
Anytime.
Travel safely.
I don't think I'm the one I have to worry about.
Just as Harv said, I found Tua patrolling the Trump 100th Known Universe Bank. The bank wasn't much, just a collection of holographic ATMs on the first floor of a business complex.
To what do I owe the honor?
Tua, I need your help.
What evildoer do you want me to smash? Do you need me to rush to the pole with you to battle injustice?
Actually, no.
Smash some battle bots?
No.
No smashing?
Sorry. I need more info on your science project.
What science project?
The elves.
Oh, that science project.
Why didn't you tell me the elves are built to live 22 years?
What? I didn't know that.
You didn't know?
Zack, I was 13 and a half when I designed them. Excuse me if they have one or two tiny design flaws. I bet you weren't genetically engineering elves when you were a teen.
No need to get defensive, Tua. I'm just trying to wrap my mind around this.
Tua, is it possible your elf design could have been altered?
Tua raised an eyebrow and floated off the ground.
Why would anybody want to do that?
I'll look for the motive later, but for now I just need to know if it's possible.
I'd say it's far more likely than me making a mistake. Can I see the data?
Show it to her, Harv. Formula after formula started projecting and scrolling from my wrist communicator. To my brain, it might as well have been ancient Greek, but Tua was watching it and reading it intently. In fact, I had never seen Tua pay such close attention to anything.
This is interesting.
I concur.
What?
Nothing you'd understand.
So, what have you two learned?
Oh, that you're annoying.
Maybe you two should get a room?
If only we could.
You know, in the past...
Let's stick to the point here, people. I mean, superhuman and hologram.
Super hologram.
Whatever. What did you learn?
My design has been altered. The telomere sequences have been cut, drastically reducing their life expectancy.
Are you sure?
Yes, probably.
So what you two super geniuses are telling me is that it's a definite maybe?
The elves' receptor cells have also been altered, Zack.
So?
They've been modified to accept some sort of enzyme. We're guessing it's a kind of telomerase booster that, if ingested, will allow the elves to live longer.
So the elves are being drugged to stay alive.
They both nodded.
He's not as slow as you make him out to be.
It's from hanging out with me.
I rushed back to my house with more questions than I had when I left. Never a good sign. Harv, contact Santana for me. I need some answers from her.
That won't be necessary.
Harv, how many times do I have to tell you this? I'm the boss. When I give you an order, you're supposed to follow it.
Harv pointed to my living room wall computer screen. Santana's image filled the screen.
Zack, I've been waiting to talk to you.
Likewise.
I've been doing some thinking.
Also likewise.
Let me hear what you've been thinking about.
I took a moment to collect my thoughts. I wanted to do this logically without tipping my hand too much.
I met with Tua Thompson.
How is the dear girl?
She's... well, Tua.
Yes, that sums her up nicely. I really appreciate the groundwork she did for us back when we were getting started.
Santana looked at me. We locked eyes. Well, at least as much as you can lock eyes over a screen.
What's bothering you, Zack?
Why'd you alter the elves?
That's why I picked you for this job, Zack. You don't beat around the bush.
Actually, Zack usually stomps the bush into the ground.
I glared at Harv.
I find that to be one of your more endearing traits.
I decided to ignore Harv and how he was acting more and more like me. I needed to concentrate on Santana.
Are you going to answer the question?
Of course, Zack. It was the elves' idea to alter themselves. They are quite clever, you know.
They altered themselves?
They thought it would help them with the S&M.
S&M?
Zack, bring your mind up a few levels. S&M stands for stimulation and motivation.
Oh, I knew that.
The elves figured if they simply lived for 150 years, that after a while they might become lazy. That's why they altered themselves. They decided that once a year, they must each be injected with an enzyme we lovingly call Elf.
The elves must take Elf?
It means Elf Life Formula. I control the supply. If any elf doesn't keep doing a bang-up job, they won't get their yearly shot. They will die within days.
Wow. Zack's speechless is something you don't see very often.
I just can't believe what I'm hearing.
Zack, I've never withheld elf from any elf. I doubt I will ever have to. But the businesswoman inbred in me likes the idea that I have a motivational tool at my disposal, if the need arises.
I still say it's weird.
The universe is a strange and wonderful place, Zack. Who are we to question it?
Fine. Now, what did you want to talk to me about?
I wanted to talk to you about you.
Santana, have you been hanging around with Harv? That sounds like something he would say.
I'm talking about your reputation. I've been following the news vids. You do create a stir wherever you go.
It's a gift.
Yes, well, we have enough gifts at the pole. We don't need any more.
I took a step back. I wasn't sure I liked where this conversation was going. I'd already taken my share of licks for this job. Maybe that would have made a sane man want out of it, but I was determined to see it through.
I hope you don't want me off the job.
I want you on the job.
Good.
Just not as you.
What?
Now that Electra won't be there, there is no way anybody will believe you're there for fun. I want you to come incognito. You like wearing disguises, don't you?
As long as they're manly, I can handle it.
But why?
Zack, I like you. I know you get the job done. But you have to admit your reputation often precedes you. If you suddenly show up as yourself at the poll, some people will be leery. Other people will be scared.
I can bring a holo disguise if you like.
I have that and your arrival and your backstory all covered.
She looked past me to Harv.
I'm locking onto your signal now.
What's going on?
Wait for it.
I did. He pointed to a spot by his feet. I looked down, and sure enough, the area directly in front of his feet started to glow. It was a strange, unnatural glow. Not the glow of a hologram, but the glow of a transport beam. The glow transformed from a nondescript, fractal-like blob to an outline of a circle. The circle started to form into a transparent belt. The belt then became less and less transparent until it became a solid object. I pointed to the belt.
Did what I think just happened happen?
If you think you just saw an item teleported to a specific spot in time and space without a receiving pad or another teleportation device, then yes.
I walked over, bent down, and picked up the belt. I was half expecting and half hoping it wouldn't be a solid object. It felt true and strong in my hands. I showed the belt to Santana. I recognized this belt as it was remarkably similar to the portable teleporting device Santana had used earlier.
Impressive. Teleporting a teleporting device to me.
You can see my elves have made remarkable progress in the field of teleportation. When activated, that device will beam you directly to the pole. We've programmed it to bring you to a reception room where my elves will greet you and prepare you. This way, nobody will know you are at the pole.
So, you just teleported that device to my bedroom. I don't have a receiver in my bedroom.
We have made some progress in teleporting non-organic matter to non-specific spots. Like I said, it comes with the territory.
Once I'm on the grounds, though, people will know it's me unless you let Harv.
Once you are here, my elves will give you a special holo disguise and a cover.
A cover?
The image of Santana was replaced by a man with light skin, neatly cut short blonde hair, and blue eyes. He looked nothing like me.
You look like this. Your name will be Bart Starr, with two R's. Three, counting the one in Bart.
I usually use the name Jay Jackson as my alias.
Yes. That's why we picked a name for you. You'll be a blogger on special assignment reporting on how way fun it is at the pole.
I had to give Santana credit. She was quite good at this. With that cover, nobody would grow suspicious of my asking questions. After all, everybody knows bloggers are the nosiest reporters around.
Is that okay?
I'll make it work.
Ahem.
Oh yeah, my computer asked your elves about background information on your guests.
Santana turned her head and mumbled something to somebody behind her. She turned back to me.
The information is downloading now.
Thanks.
Can I be of further assistance?
I'm cool.
You what?
That's Zack's quaint way of saying, we've got what we need for now.
Oh, okay. See you tomorrow, Zack.
Do you have the data?
Yes, I do.
Good. I could use a second pair of human eyes. Call Carol and see if she can come over and lend a brain.
No need.
Carol?
Carol.
Sure enough, Carol was standing there holding Chinese takeout in her hand. Sometimes it really pays to have an assistant who's a class one Psi. Carol and I sat down on my real simulated leather couch as Harv scrolled the poll's visitors onto the screen for us. The first to appear was a tall Asian woman with more rippling muscles than a steroid convention. She was very familiar to me. It was mutant pro wrestler Nova Powers. I'd met Nova a few years ago when I was working on the BB Star case. Now she looked even more pumped and bulked up than the last time we met. Usually I don't find women with bigger arms than mine attractive, but the look worked for her.
Nova Powers.
Very good, Zack. Glad you remember.
I never forget a woman that tosses me around.
There have been so many, that's hard to believe.
Ha ha ha. What a funny computer.
Speaking of funny, I told my e-shrink I keep cognizing I'm ugly, so he told me to lay on the couch. Face down. Oh, I get no respect.
Carol looked at me. She was too young to have any idea who Harv had stolen that joke from.
Long story.
He's been connected to your brain too long.
I turned my attention back to Nova. My run-in with Nova had been brief. She was emotional and hot-tempered, like a Tua Light, but she didn't strike me as an elf killer. Unless, of course, an elf got in the way of her and her man. If she wanted to off an elf, I doubt she would poison it or drop a giant bag of toys on it. Love may make people do strange things, but even then, they usually stay in character. Who else is there?
Don't you want any more background info on Nova? See what she's been up to for the last couple of years? Besides adding 15 kilos of pure raw muscle.
Not really, no.
Zack, she's a mutant pro wrestler. She beats people up on a daily basis.
Does she look like a killer of elves to you, Carol?
I don't really like the way she looks. For my taste, she was more attractive when there was less of her.
Not the question.
If a man pissed her off, I could see her ripping his head off and shoving it up his behind. But an elf? No.
Next. The picture of a very distinguished and proud-looking gray-haired woman filled the screen. She looked like she could be anybody's young, hip grandma. Not just any grandma, but a beautiful one who spent a good deal of time in the gym. I knew this woman. Doss, the entire world knew this woman. She was Senior World Council member Stormy Weathers, the most trusted politician in history. Or at least that's what her press release says.
What's Councilwoman Weathers doing at the poll?
Probably freezing her butt off.
Oh, that's good. Can I use it?
I'm sure one of you will.
Back to the case?
It's her biannual visit. She takes 4 vacations a year, and every other vacation she goes to the poll. You should know that. It's all in the vids. I bet you don't even know her voting record.
No, I don't. I was secure in knowing that 99.999% of the population didn't know her voting record either.
Sexy did say the poll had enemies on the WC. Maybe she was hinting at Weathers.
She hates the spot she vacations every year.
Maybe it's like New Vegas. You kind of love to hate the place.
What could the councilwoman achieve from trouble at the poll?
Where's she from originally?
New Canada.
New Canada. Everybody knows that. Gee, Zach, don't you pay any attention to politics?
I try, but he never listens to me. Of course, if Miss Weathers was a pitcher for the Mets, he'd know her lifetime ERA.
I have my priorities. I only have so much storage space up here.
Yes, I am painfully aware of your numerous limitations.
Me too.
Yes, well, I'm in his brain.
Carol glared at him. If he was human, that glare alone would have stopped him in his tracks.
I pick up his stray thoughts. He's not very good at shielding them.
Well, yes,
guys, well, I have enough faults for each of you.
True.
Amen to that.
Let's stick to the case, okay? I need you to.
Right.
Right.
My point is that if Weathers goes to the poll twice a year, she must know it pretty well. Plus, she's connected. She might be able to cause some trouble there.
Oh, why do you insist on thinking a respected councilwoman would have anything to do with this?
Just keeping my options open, Harv.
I'm checking her past records now.
I appreciate that.
I am a professional.
Yes, I know.
I turned my head and rolled my eyes so Carol could see.
I saw that.
I forgot that I was connected to every security camera in the house.
Ah! Miss Weathers has never even had a parking ticket. Even her accident wasn't her fault.
The accident the councilwoman was in about 10 years ago was the stuff of legend. A hover truck ran a stoplight and crashed into her hover. Her driver was killed, and conventional wisdom was that the councilwoman was lucky to be alive, and that her nerve endings were charred so badly that even with limb replacement, she would be lucky if she ever walked again. 3 years later, she won the Mars-based marathon, the toughest 10K in the solar system. The press called it a testament to her inner strength. All I know is, that crash made her stronger and more popular than ever. It couldn't have worked out better for her if she had planned it.
Face it, Zach. The woman is clean and as perfect as humanly possible.
I took a class from her at university. She was incredible. I've never encountered anybody so pure.
The councilwoman doesn't travel with security?
Not at the pole. It is the safest and most secure place on Earth. Santana does give her a panic button, so if anything happens, she can summon guard bots to her in seconds.
Lovely. I've had such good luck with them. Who else is up there?
A picture of an older man with a neatly trimmed mustache and just the hint of receding hairline popped up on the wall.
That's Councilwoman Weathers' husband, Carl Weathers.
Very good, Zach. Though I'm certain you know that only because he used to be a quarterback with the New York Space Jets.
Yeah, but back then his name was Carl Laser Cannon Carlson. So he still gets some credit.
He changed his name when he married the councilwoman. I always liked Councilwoman Weathers.
As does the entire world. She's been voted the most likable person on the planet, 3 years running by People, Pseudo-People, and Android EMAG.
What do we know about Carl Weathers, besides the fact that he's changed his name and never played in a Super Duper Bowl?
Scanning every occurrence he's ever made in the news. His football career was uneventful. He had a lifetime record of 17-17.
What about business ventures?
He is part owner of a space salt mining company. That's it. He's pretty much defined as being Mr. Stormy Weathers.
Next.
Pictures of two blue-skinned humans, one with blue hair and one with green hair, appeared on my screen. Their skin tone made it easy to recognize that these were meshes, medically enhanced super smart humans. They were all the craze in the brave new world of the 2030s. The cloning regulations and modifying bans were lifted, and the world went wild for a while. Meshes were created to be human thinking machines, meant to rival the best computers of the day. The experiment worked to a certain extent. Meshes are the ultimate in geekdom. If it has something to do with technology, they can understand it and make it work. The problem is, meshes have no idea how to interact with regular humans. In fact, most regular humans are repelled by them. These days, all the meshes live on their own colony on Mars.
Gross. I'm glad human cloning is restricted again. We shouldn't be messing with stuff like that. Why do they wear thick glasses? Can't they have corrective surgery?
It's illegal for meshes to correct their eyesight. It's a flaw deliberately encoded into their DNA to ensure they don't feel too superior to regular humans. They make the best out of it by using the glasses as information interfaces.
Who are they?
Bim and Norp Smith of Mars Base Delta. Bim has the blue hair and Norp the green.
I looked them over. If they combed their hair, trimmed about half a centimeter off their noses, and did something about their complexion, the zits on top of blue skin really stood out. They might be halfway to sort of presentable.
They care more about their brains than their looks.
What? Don't tell me you're reading my mind now, too.
I don't need to read your little mind when your face is broadcasting in Technicolor HV. After all these years, you humans still put way too much value on physical appearance.
I'm betting they have the technology to make or reprogram bots like the ones that attacked me earlier today.
You would win that bet.
The question is, do they have a motive?
Hatred of regular humans. You do treat them pretty crappy just because they don't look as good as you do.
Well, that could be a pretty good motive. I'll make sure I keep an extra close eye on them while I'm there.
I'm glad I'm not going on this job.
Who else do we have? Bim and Norp's images on the screen morphed into what appeared to be a family of four. A father, a mother, a son, and a daughter. The father had one hand on an electric pitchfork and the other on his son's shoulder. The mother had one hand on an electric shovel and the other on her daughter's shoulder. They were all blonde-haired, blue-eyed, and smiling like they just won the lottery. They looked as sweet as the apple pie the daughter was holding in her arms. I didn't trust them.
This is the Billings family. Bob Billings, his wife Betty, their son Billy, and their daughter, Bobby. They are farmers from New Kansas.
What's a farm-fresh family from New Kansas doing at the poll?
Does it really matter?
Of course it matters.
Billy won the poll's quarterly ESA contest. Why I want to win a trip to the poll.
Okay, that explains it. I looked over their picture on the screen. They were squeaky clean. It's been my experience that when somebody's so clean that they shine, that means they've been polished by somebody else. Polished for a reason. Any vibes from them, Carol?
Ugh, the mom creeps me out. How can she work on the farm all day and still be so pale? And that eyeliner is so not her.
Yeah, I get bad vibes from her too. Harv, check her out good.
I'm glad you're basing your investigation on such empirical evidence.
Just scan her, Harv.
I have, Zach. She has never left New Kansas.
Are you sure?
I've cross-referenced her ID card with every travel database in the world. She's never left New Kansas.
Weird.
None of them have ever left New Kansas. In fact, none of them have ever gone more than 50 kilometers from their home just outside of Lyons, New Kansas. Don't give yourself a headache overanalyzing this. They're just throwbacks to a simple time. Like you, but with denim overalls instead of a trench coat and fedora.
It was possible Harv was right, but they didn't seem right to me. I'd keep a close eye on them when I got to the pole.
Dig a little deeper, Harv. Make sure nothing's been covered over.
Fine. This will take time, because if something has been buried, it's been done by a pro.
Who else do we have at the poll?
I saved the best for last. I'm giving you 5-1 odds that these two did it. Mary and Steve Eatman.
I looked at their picture on the screen. They didn't look very malicious, but then again, we've all heard the stories of the guy who looked like a boy space scout who was hoarding bodies in his basement. They were both middle-aged. Mary was pleasant enough looking, but had a grumpy, I just ate a lemon and I'm not sure if I like it expression. Steve looked to be the mellower of the two. His bright eyes had a cooperative, groupie type of alertness.
Let me guess. She's a lawyer and he's an engineer.
Bingo! And guess where they work?
I don't want to guess.
Come on, Zach, guess. It's easy. It's almost too easy.
Excel?
Yes, it's so obvious. They've been planning this trip for 5 years. They made their reservations years ago. Excel may not have built the bots, but they donated the computer systems.
I glanced over at Carol. She was studying their photo.
What do you think, Chica?
Not sure I'd want to run into her in a dark alley. He looks likable enough, in a simple sort of way.
Think they're the types to off a couple of elves?
Not really.
Zack, I just dug up some interesting info. Excel was designing guard bots just like H-Tech. They were very upset when the poll went with H-Tech models. It
doesn't matter. It's not them.
What? How can you say that?
I move my lips and words come out.
I mean, why would you say that?
Process it, Harv. They're too obvious. If anything, they're patsies, fall guys, scapegoats.
I guess I haven't been running as many algorithms as I could. Just because they are the obvious choice doesn't mean they aren't the choice.
True. If I were weighing the chances of it being them, I'd say 2 out of 10.
So it is possible.
Yeah, but we need to look at all the possibilities. This isn't a low-budget HV movie. Cases don't wrap up that easy.
You may not be wrong.
Don't worry, Harv. Once we get to the poll, examine the scene, and talk to the people, we'll get a better idea of what the score is.
I'm sure. Ah, speaking of getting there, I just received a message from Elf-1, Santana's head of organic security.
Okay, what is it?
Elf-1 asked that you alert them before you teleport there tomorrow so they can lower the disruptor field.
A disruptor field?
They've just initiated it today, as standard protocol. It will severely limit any unauthorized transmissions into or out of the pole.
Oh. I wasn't sure if this meant the elves didn't trust me, didn't trust somebody else, or if it was some combination of both. I was sure that this would mean Harv and I would be on our own at the pole. No problem.
I won't be able to access outside databases, not without tipping them off or getting really sneaky.
We can live with that.
We won't be able to call in backup.
Don't worry. If you're in trouble, I'll know.
I suppose that means ordering pizzas out.
I'm not even going to dignify that with a response.
Harv and I were going to have our work cut out for us, but I was pretty sure it wasn't anything we couldn't handle. Carol stood up.
It's getting late. I better get going. Unless you need something else from me.
We'll be fine. Thanks for everything, Chica.
Don't mention it, Tio. If you need help, just think real hard.